12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Everybody, my name is Wes Otis. Welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, our Call of Cthulhu actual play. This is episode number 29. I'm here with some amazing players. Let us start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and today I am playing Belle Bellington.
Sorry, again, I had another thought, and it was Smellington.
That's like if you're mad at them. She smells Smellington.
That's like a shitty little like teenager thing to do.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Lev. I'm playing Roberta Robbie Sirius. They use they, she pronouns, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hello, my name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns, and I get the honor of playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
This is a great place for a recap. Last game, a lot happened. Imani was kidnapped by New Day Rejuvenation, taken out to the oil fields where there was this warehouse. She was hooked up to a machine to slowly drain her of blood. And this was a trap set for Evie. Evie went out there right away to try and talk with Elizabeth Bathory and figure out some way. Evie was ready to give themselves up at that point. They were like, you know, look, you let her go and you can have me. The rest of Cass, Belle, and Penelope and Robbie found clues basically that something was amiss and went and followed Evie out. And before Evie could give themselves up, they persuaded her to reach out to your Egyptian god friends. And Hathor showed up and said Ra would come down and cause a big explosion and wipe out New Day Rejuvenation, or at least the head of it, and also wiping out Patty Wells. So the idea was that Evie would sacrifice themselves to make sure everybody got out of the warehouse on time. That was shot down by everybody else. You guys ran out and you grabbed Imani. You started running for the door. You got out of the warehouse, but unfortunately Cass turned because of the stress. Penelope had to restrain her right when Ra hit and the building exploded. Light and destruction and all that good stuff. That is where we are picking things up. All of you have run several yards away from the impact site. The building exploded in light and fire. When you turn around and you look, you see bits of debris like metal siding strewn about and this big burn mark where the building used to be. And Hathor and Ra appear next to you. And Hathor goes, I'm so glad you all made it out. I'm grateful that you didn't have to sacrifice yourself to escape. She looks at you, Evie.
I am too, darling, but we didn't all make it out.
I'm sorry. I thought you all were here. Who's missing?
Cass and Penelope.
We should go check for them. See if we can find them. Maybe they got out a different way.
Okay, so I start walking to look around to see if I see anything.
You all search for a while. You don't know how much time goes by, but there's nothing left. You can't find a body. There's no trace that a person was there. And you realize that they're gone. And Ra goes, I'm so sorry for your loss. I was hoping that you would all have been able to get out of there. And I know that it's difficult to lose a friend.
Well, why can't we find them then? Why can't we, maybe they went somewhere else.
I think Evie starts to just sort of sink down to the grass. And I feel like she probably just repeats to herself the plan.
I think Amani just kind of unceremoniously just like plops down in the grass, just looking like completely and totally dejected. All this death everywhere, ever since I got here.
They have to be somewhere, right? They have to be somewhere, right? They can't just, things don't just disappear. There is the laws of the thermodynamics. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. So they can't just be gone. They can't just be gone.
I mean, Robbie's right. We would see something, wouldn't we?
I don't know if we can even use regular common sense or how things typically would be when we're dealing with divine beings, supernatural stuff. There's a lot of stuff that can't be explained.
Is this building raised to rubble?
It's basically just sheets of charred metal exploded out.
I think Ebony just turns around and kind of looks at it.
I don't know if maybe they're in there.
I start walking over to look.
I'll go with Belle and try to help pull things around.
I was going to say, I definitely start digging through it.
You all are sifting through the rubble. More time passes. At this point, it's pretty late. Suddenly, out of the corner of your eye, you see a really bright light on a hill, not far away, maybe 100 yards away. And Evie, Hathor, and Ra have been kind of looking around with you all, but they've also been talking off to the side, kind of to themselves. Hathor comes up and taps you on the shoulder, and she says, I have some bad, well, more bad news, unfortunately. We broke the treaty that we have signed. We're not supposed to interact with the human population. We're not supposed to interfere. So we have to go. And you look over up on the hills, and there is a very tall-looking man, very pale-skinned with fine features and long blonde hair and huge red wings. They look like feathers. And then next to him is another, you want to say man, but it's a column of fire. She goes, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. It might be a while.
I understand. I will miss you.
I'll miss you too.
Will you be able to receive my prayers?
I won't hear them, but I know you'll be saying them. And you know that I'll be saying them to you too.
I think Ebony gives her one last kiss, a lingering one.
She hugs you pretty hard back.
Just kind of squeezes her hand and lets her go.
Her and Ra take each other's hands and walk up the hill. And then all of a sudden, the four of you are in almost complete darkness. The lights of the stars are shining down a little bit. It's just you all now.
I put my hand on Evie's shoulder.
This was quite an adventure, huh?
If adventure's what you want to call it.
I mean, what next? What next? What could possibly happen now?
Oh, God, don't ask that.
Please don't.
Aren't you annoyed? I'm annoyed. We've come all this way. We've done all of this. We've lost our friends. We've lost our loves. Like, what else? What else is there? Are we going to get called in tomorrow to come to work? To work on that stupid movie? Robbie, please, whatever it is you want to write, you write it. That's going to be so much more infinitely exciting than whatever the hell it is we're supposed to be doing there. In the face of this, oh my God, what a disaster. I don't even have a home to go home to. I have nothing. I have Buttercup and hopefully Buttercup's new friend Easter at Penelope's house.
Easter doesn't know. What are we going to do about Penelope's house? All that information, all of those books, and the room and the spear and...
Okay. Yeah, let's go to Penelope's house so we can think and regroup and talk to her butler. And I'm sure, because usually people with that kind of money already have arrangements for what happens to their stuff.
Okay. By the time you get back to Penelope's, it's early morning. Now, according to Jacques Couture and Danny, you all finished up recording yesterday. You wrapped. So that was good. And you get to the house and you see Easter kind of going back and forth and meowing.
Scoop. Bonk.
What happened? I know something happened.
We went to help. We went to help. And it was really stressful. And Cass is new at the werewolf thing. And the stress got to be too much. And then Penelope tried to help and they got stuck inside. And then the house, they're gone. We don't know where, but they're gone. And they were so kind. Why are they gone? They were so kind. It's not fair. Can you sense them? Can you?
No, I can't. That's why I knew something was wrong. I failed.
I'm sorry. I failed. You're a cat. You can't go anywhere. We failed.
Yeah, but I was supposed to make sure that Penelope stayed out of trouble, and I didn't do that.
I don't think that's your fault. I think trouble found her, and then we found her, so more trouble found her, and she was kind to me, and that's what started all of this.
I think that looking back and trying to ascribe some kind of blame for cosmic forces coming against you is futile. These things happen, unfortunately. The universe is chaos. Trying to make sense of it is maddening. So it's just better to try to keep friends close to you and your loved ones close to you and enjoy the time that you've got.
Failed that one on kind of all counts.
What will you do next? You're still not out of the woods.
I'll kind of unbonk from him. Easter wants to know what we're going to do next, because we are still not out of the woods. We have the staff, or the, not the staff, the spear.
We still have to deal with whatever the hell's in the mirror that tried to eat Belle's leg, too.
Excuse me? What's in the mirror?
Oh, that's right. You were gone. That was like 3 days ago. We went to try and follow you because you went to the bathroom and then you disappeared. So we looked in the mirror because we thought you had gone in there. And then I reached in and there was a monster in it. And I'll like pull up my sleeve and show all the like marks from the tentacle spooky thing. And then this happened. And then we found you. So it was okay. And we came to find you. And then Belle had a dream. Belle, what was your dream again?
I had a dream that he was eating me. It was very awful. It was so real.
Ebony just, like, chuckles to herself and, like, grips the table really tight and then just really swiftly just takes off her shoe and throws it as hard as she can against the ground and stomps a couple of times. No! 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 We're not doing this! No! No! A creature in a mirror! No! No! This is ridiculous. I have had enough...
I think we don't have a choice, Evie.
Whatever is coming for us, it just needs to come. It just needs to come. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I have lived through a lot, and I am done with this. How do we summon it?
I mean, we could go yell at the mirror. That's my only guess, honestly. Death said it's a priest of Cthulhu, and when it sleeps, it sends out dreams, and when it wakes... it's like a mountain moving. And even killing it isn't going to give us the end of things. It just buys us more time.
Well, why? What's happening after him?
I don't know. I don't know anything. And I hate that.
Ugh.
Sorry.
No, it's all right, Robbie. This is exhausting.
Why us? What did we do? Who did we cosmically piss off? Or what did we touch when we were... 8 that was a butterfly effect to send us to this nonsense that we're not equipped for. We sit by and we watch as things that are more powerful than us play with us like little toys and take our friends away and tell us that we're supposed to do something that we don't even freaking understand.
Ebony stomps into the bathroom.
Wait, you need the spear. Don't summon it without the spear. Hold on. Robbie's gonna like run and get the spear and then turn to Imani and Belle. Do you have a better idea?
No. I mean, but maybe not the bathroom. Maybe the mirror out here in the hall. It's more space. Shove a spear into something in a tiny bathroom I don't think is going to work well.
That's smart. Evie, wait. Come here.
Ebony gets to the bathroom and just braces herself for a minute. Like, she hears people calling and she knows she's hot-headed. So she's trying to be better.
So when you get to the door, when you look up where the mirror used to be and the medicine cabinet, the mirror has been broken and the medicine cabinet has disappeared. And now there is a perfect rectangle and this howling sound of wind is coming through that hole.
Well, that's not great. I think Ebony storms in, sees that, and walks right back out.
Nope.
Yep. Nope. Okay.
Just comes back out and like stands like, I imagine there's probably like a little antechamber right there. So she's like standing there, like just yelling, "Can someone please help me? There's a portal to God knows what dimension in the bathroom. And I'm not, as I've said multiple times, I'm not dealing with this."
What?
I guess the bathroom it is, if that's where the portal is.
We're going to have to go through it. I have this horrible suspicion that we're going to have to go through it.
Probably, yes. Yes. I mean, it is rather small, so perhaps maybe we just shout into it and someone comes and meets us, like, you know, at a speakeasy or something.
That's the preferred method.
Whatever's there, I'd like to keep it there. And I would like to remain here, separate, personally.
Hold on. I'm going to go get Easter. I'm not going to put him in it, but I'm going to hold him like at the door of the bathroom and just like angle him around. Do you know what that is? Bonk.
Honestly, no, I don't. It looks like some kind of, I know all of you have been saying portal, but it looks very solid to be a portal. It looks like a cave or...
like an escape route?
I don't know. Something solid that you can put your hands and feet on and possibly crawl through. But the portal teleports you from one place to another. This looks like an air duct or something.
Oh, so it's worse is what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying it's worse.
Okay.
Wes, the GM, is saying it's worse.
Was it part of this house?
No, that's not. I'm sure the blueprints don't show a supernatural cave that goes from the bathroom to another area. I don't think that's something that was here before.
Evie starts taking off her nice outfit that's probably a little tattered and torn by now, but she doesn't want to like mess it up any further. So she takes it off and she has like a slip and like a battle ready corset underneath. just like looks at everyone.
Listen, I'm, you know, as far as actors are concerned, I'm practically at the end of my life. So I'll go in first.
No.
You want to go in first, Robbie?
No, I don't want anyone to go in. If I'm being really, really honest, I think none of us should go in. But I know that we have to. And so my automatic reaction was to tell you no, because I didn't want you to go in, but I don't want any of us to go in. So I think if anyone had said, I'm going to go in first, I would have said no.
You can't go in first, Robbie. We need someone with a level head. And as right now, somehow I have the level head. Who would have thunk it? It's ridiculous. All right. Well, wish me luck, I guess.
I think she puts like a lighter and like just shoves her arm as far as it'll go and tries to look up into it to see what to expect. Is it an up? Is it a down? Is it straight ahead?
It's a straight ahead. And you look down and all you see is maybe like a foot or two from the lighter. Do you see smooth walls, then just darkness past that point?
I think I say into the hole, listen, if you want to eat me, you're going to need to wait until I get to the other side where you are. Don't come into this hole and try to dispatch me then. I will put up quite the fight.
Okay.
And then I crouch down really low and I start to, what, like army crawl through this space?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, God. Once Evie's through, I'm going to pass, since she's at the front, I'm going to pass the spear through to her. I was going to say butt end first because that's technically safer, but if we're army crawling through, she needs the point forward. So I guess Robbie's like, this isn't the safe way to handle this, so I'm so sorry.
So she disappears into this hole. The three of you are standing there. Are you following or what? What's the plan?
I'll follow.
Yeah.
Okay. So one by one, you follow in. Lev, is Robbie following? What's Robbie going to do?
So the thing is, at one point you told us to write down phobias.
And you wrote down this as a phobia?
Mine is currently the bathroom because four bad things have happened to me in a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I have to roll something. I don't know if I, like, do things with disadvantage. I don't know. I don't know what you're wanting out of that, but I wanted to honor that fact of...
That makes sense. No, that's totally... Thank you for letting me know. Why don't we do this? We will do a resolve check, and then if you fail it, you're going to lose some resolve, and then everything that you do while you're in this hole is going to be at disadvantage. If you make it, then you don't take any resolve and you just roll normally.
Okay, cool. This is like a tunnel, like a spelunking kind of, like, you have to crawl through.
You have to crawl through. It's like a, like I said, it's like a air duct. It's a perfect rectangle.
Okay, cool. Great. Oh my God. Okay. I gave myself disadvantage on that because Robbie also doesn't like small spaces. I rolled two D100s and one, like, D10. Both of my D100s came up double zero, and then I got an 8.
Yay!
Which awesome. Feels like I'm cheating, but I promise I'm not.
No, I know you're not.
That's wild.
That's absolutely insane.
The dice want to say something, I guess.
I love the dice.
Well, after last week and Mac's horrible string of luck, like,
this is Mac's spirit. Mac's spirit.
Mac's helping out.
Here you go. I think the way that kind of plays out in a RP sense is that Robbie starts to move and then at the doorway, like, jolts in a pause and kind of takes a deep breath and closes their eyes and thinks of Bastet and the kiss that they shared and the time that they spent together. And the promise of her watching over. And Robbie takes a really deep breath. Eyes closed, just reaches and, like, pulls themselves through without looking until they're in.
Okay. So you get in and you start crawling. And then suddenly you feel paws on your back. And then Easter lays down on the middle of your back and puts his little claws into your clothes and lets you... slowly crawl through this thing while he's on your back.
You should have stayed home. It's safer there.
It's a loving thing, but it's a very cat thing to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Robbie just has, like, a couple little tears leak out at the, like, the little cat. You know how when your cat lies on your back and you're like, man, this is the best feeling on the planet?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's like a little, like, flare of like, okay, boss, this is kind of like Bastet's with me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you trek through what seems like miles of this closed space. You can't go backwards easily, so it's just through. And this wind is howling around you, and it's relatively cold, and it smells of sea salt. And after a long time, you're exhausted, Evie. You can hear the others kind of behind you. Sometimes Belle taps your leg to let you know that she's behind you. And you finally see an opening ahead, a small shaft of light coming through. And you see the outer rim of the rectangle that you've been crawling through. And you get to it and you look down and there's this gigantic cavern and... these broken stairs that lead from the hole you're crawling through down into the cavern floor. And there is water on almost everything. It's a very, like, wet ocean cave kind of thing with these large stalactites and stalagmites and strange, strange shapes of rocks that don't quite make sense. And it doesn't take long for all four of you to... make your way onto the stairway, and Easter touches the ground, flicks his paws a little bit, and then jumps up onto your shoulder, Robbie. What do you all want to do?
I think Robbie takes a second to get up, because they haven't taken off their braces in so many hours, and they are painful at this point, and I think they're just, like, trying to stand and, like, shift. Like, even though they're over clothes, they're still, like, chafing and pulling. So I think they're just trying to, like, shift their clothes as they stand. This place is gross. I don't want to be here. I'm really upset that we're here. I just had to say that out loud. Thank you very much. We can continue.
What manner of creature do you think lives in here?
It has tentacles, Evie.
It had tentacles.
It has tentacles.
Oh, okay. So this is its lair.
Wonderful.
When War's corpse was in the trunk, it smelled like briny. And they the thing said that it gave us the what we wanted, or it gave him what he wanted. It gave death, War.
It gave War what he wanted. Yeah, that was a gift, I guess, of sorts.
He did say he wanted to die. That's true. He was quite exhausted.
And said everyone should get what they want.
Well, let's see what he has for us. What I want is for all of this to stop and for things to go back to normal.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would give us that if we said that's what we wanted?
I intend to find out. Ebony is a woman on a mission. I think the cold bitch that she's always been has been waiting for this moment, and she's, like, ready to unleash hell on whatever unholy creature is residing in this cave. Like, she is mad.
So you start to make your way down the only path that there is, down these stairs. Does anybody have anything like history or archaeology or any of those fun Cthulhu RPG skills?
I have history. I have 40 in history.
Okay. Or a cult as well. So whatever's better.
I have a 50 in a cult. Or 55 in a cult.
Oh, yeah. I'll roll a cult.
I'll roll the history. I don't have much, but...
I got an 11. 11 under 40.
Wow, that's nice.
30 under 55.
No, I missed history and a cult.
So for the two of you that made it, as you're walking down, you notice that there is inlays in the staircase. They look possibly Sumerian. They're very, very old. And it's iconography, so it's hieroglyphics mixed with cuneiform. Imane, can you give me a spot hidden roll?
For sure. Okay, yeah, I definitely failed that. 41 over my 25.
Okay. To explain what this cavern looks like again, you're on a large staircase that is going down into this, like, black abyss below that you imagine is just another part of the cave. The cave walls are probably 50 yards away from the staircase. So the staircase is almost freestanding. There are no railings on the side. What you notice is that every time you take a step off one of these steps onto another step, there seems to be a small flash of light away from where you are in different places around the cave. The thing you didn't notice is a tentacle wrapping itself around your foot.
No!
And suddenly you feel something take a hold of you. Robbie, give me a spot hidden roll real quick.
Of course Robbie would be the one to peep it, poor thing.
36 under my 50.
Excellent. So you're walking and you notice that Imani's kind of looking at the little lights that are popping up every time you step on one of these stairs. And then you glance down and this black, slimy tentacle just kind of comes up and is kind of starting to reach around one of her legs. What does Robbie do?
I think Robbie has there's a cockroach instinct, which is just like stomp.
Okay.
Just full like,
Give me a dex check.
Cool.
Now, do you have your braces on?
Oh yeah, they're still on. No, they're still on. I think Robbie's just been like moving a little slower and really uncomfortable.
Cool. I just needed to know.
I got a 75 over my 60.
Okay, so all of a sudden, Imani, you feel Robbie right up next to you. And she stomps on this tentacle, and you look down and you see the tentacle slither back into the darkness. Then part of the side of the staircase gives way just a little bit, and they start to tumble forward into the darkness. What do you want to do?
I'm going to attempt to reach out and try to grab them.
Okay, so give me a dex check real quick.
Okay, gotta find my dex. Boop, boop, be-doop. Okay. 6 under my 50.
Nice. So at this point, there's been enough noise behind you all that you turn around and you see Imani holding on to Robbie's arm, and she's basically holding Robbie, who has just almost slipped into the cavern below and is able to bring Robbie back up onto the staircase. And you all kind of take this huge breath. That was very close.
All right, back to grade school, everyone, please. Everyone hold hands. We're going to do daisy chain. No one gets thrown off without the rest of us knowing.
Robbie's forehead just kind of tips forward and hits Amani's shoulder.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amani just, like, taps your head, like, lovingly. It's like,
yeah, of course. I wasn't going to let you fall.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let a tentacle take you, so I... It doesn't have to be a reciprocal thing, but I'm really, really glad that at this point it was a reciprocal thing.
Was that what...
Mm-hmm.
Something like the... What wrapped you
mm-hmm.
around?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I fucking hate it here.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really bad here.
I think I'm starting to align myself with Evie's perspective. I think I'm fucking sick and tired of this.
Yeah, this sucks. Are you feeling okay? I know you had a lot of blood drained out of you, and now we're in a sea cave, and that sucks for you really bad. And I'm so sorry that you didn't get to rest or, like, drink any water. I don't have anything to help you with that. I really just wanted to, like, check on you, even though I can't fix it.
I'm all right. And Amani's, like, not looking you in the eyes.
I'll kind of, like, slide my hands down and grab your hand and then kind of move your other hand to reach for Belle.
You're safe. You're with us. I don't think those things are really mutually exclusive, but for right now, you're safe and you're with us.
Thank you.
So you're all going down these stairs, single file.
Holding hands.
Holding hands. And as you're going down, the staircase starts to narrow.
Son of a bitch.
Closer and closer in, to the point where you have no choice but to do single file and one step at a time. And below you is this huge drop, or at least it looks like a drop because the darkness is so immense everywhere. And all you have is every once in a while a lighter that you use to make sure that there is a step in front of you. Everybody make a resolve check for me.
Can I ask a question while we're making this resolve check? Did you say that we heard, like, the sound of, like, the surf, or was it just quiet when we got here?
It's relatively quiet. There is dripping water, and though there's not the howling wind anymore, but there is a sea breeze. Like, you can feel a breeze, but it's not loud.
Okay, so I'm not allowed to use luck?
Not for resolve checks, no.
Yeah, no, I did not make mine.
That's good.
Okay, all right.
I rolled another 8 under my 49.
Okay. Oh
my God. 19 under 47.
All right.
I rolled 43 over 39.
I think Robbie's just fully disassociated at this point.
Yeah, probably.
It's quite literally.
Yeah, it's like in Delta Green when you hit that point and you're like, you have all the violence and it's like, oh, why are you killing people? They're in my way. Okay, that person needs to retire. Evie, you take 4 points, so you just get this shudder, but it's not to the point where it's you have any big response beyond the one that you want to do that you feel like is appropriate. Belle, okay, you take 7 points.
Oof, da.
And what I need you to do is roll against your intelligence and let me know you want to fail this roll.
I rolled a 79 under my 80.
Oh, okay. So let's see what your reaction is.
Wait, that's a good thing, though. You made it.
Not for this roll. You want to fail this one.
When you have an intelligence roll in a situation like this, you want to fail it because if you succeed, you really get the gravity of what's happening.
Oh, you gain new fucking awful information.
Yeah.
Right, 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 right. Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm so sorry.
let me see. All right, so all of a sudden, Belle just stops moving. And the rest of you, like, you feel the tug of her not moving. And then, Imani, you literally almost run right into her back. And Belle cannot move. She is frozen in place.
Belle? Belle?
Mm-mm.
Belle, we have to go.
Mm-mm. No.
Belle, we can't go back. You must only go forward.
I can't move.
You can move, Belle. It's all in your mind, I promise you. And that's not to say your feelings aren't valid. God damn it, who am I? It's not to say that your feelings aren't valid. You are wonderful, Belle, just as you are. But also, you can move, and I have every trust and faith in you that we can get down this staircase. You are Survivor, Belle. Remember that.
So, you can force yourself to start moving forward. But if anything comes up, you're going to be at a disadvantage for a little bit.
Can I help? Can I intimidate her and like theater slap her?
Sure, absolutely. I don't know if that'll help, but it'll be amusing.
I feel. Can I roll against her dex?
She has no dex right now. She's frozen. She is. You don't even have to roll to slap her.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a dodge.
Yeah, you can slap her. Just give me an intimidate roll.
How can we like measure how good of a job I did so that I scare her straight?
Do a strength check.
Okay.
Do a strength check.
It's like, do you slap the taste out of her mouth or do you slap the piss out of her? Like, that's where we're at.
So, I mean, I got a 38 under 40, which is not amazing.
But it's still a good slap.
But it stings. It stings.
Evie, you slap Belle hard. Belle, you can barely see the outline of Evie's face because it's pitch black. There's not a lot, except for those small lights that seem to light up when you touch a new step. And the thing that goes through your mind is this is the exact same slap that you got when you reported on Evie and her relationship with the other woman and her husband. And it kind of all comes flooding back as you realize that there's memory and pain, and you feel your body clench and unclench at the same time.
I take in a sharp breath, and I put my hand to my cheek, and I say, thank you. I needed to snap out of that. Thank you.
Now Amani's wishing she was the one that did it.
Oh, don't even.
We'll all die, please.
That's how we start another fight.
on a staircase that's literally a foot wide.
No. Oh my God, I can feel it blowing in the breeze. I think Ebony takes Belle by the shoulders, but like softly this time, and then brings you in for a really quick hug, and then kind of like dusts you off and taps you again on your shoulders, and then turns around and starts walking, holding your hand.
You hug, and you feel much better, Belle, and you continue to walk down these stairs.
As we're going down the stairs, can Robbie start trying to just like draw any kind of point A to point B? Like, is there like a pattern for where the lights light up when one of us steps? Is there a pattern for like, is there any kind of like correlation or pattern? Is it just bioluminescence? Is it like mycelial web kind of weird shit? Like, I guess Robbie's just trying to figure out what the hell's going on with these lights.
Give me an idea roll. That's just your intelligence. Roll against your intelligence.
Come on, smarty kid. 77 under 80. That's a crit? Question mark?
No, it would be if Delta Green.
Yeah. God damn it. I'm so sorry I keep mixing these rules.
They're close.
They're very close.
They're very close. Okay, so yeah, it seems to be you follow it for a while because you've been walking a while. And there is definitely a pattern. Easter says to you, I wonder how much longer these steps are going to be.
Does that kind of give me the inclination that, like, where the lights started have like, moved as we've moved down?
They seem to be moving with you down the wall, whatever they're connected to. It's pretty pitch black, but they're doing the same pattern as they're moving down the wall.
So they're just in one specific area.
Yeah, but over a large area. So it's a large area, but it's the same pattern.
I don't know what to do with this information, so I guess Robbie just kind of starts pointing it out to everyone. Robbie's still of the mind that, like, any information is good information. So I think Robbie's just kind of like, okay, well, it started here, and now we're here. It seems like it's going down with us, though I don't know how much further down is, because there's just nothingness around us, but that's information that we might be able to use later for something.
No, it's a good point, Easter says, and goes, I mean, I'm not sure what it's supposed to mean, but it might be important.
Can I keep an eye now that I understand the pattern, like if there are some behind us, like if something appears on a stair, what would be quote unquote behind us or like above us or just in a place that I know one of us isn't stepping.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you study it long enough, you can kind of make out what the first pattern is. It's behind you all. It's relatively far on the wall. You make out that the first thing is it spells a large A on the wall. And Easter says to Belle, Belle, are you okay?
No, but I will be.
Well, we should continue moving down. There's got to be a floor to this cavern, of course.
The next pattern goes, beep, 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 beep.
Oh, that's such an
that
old...
Game.
Oh, man.
I know it's movie, Close Encounters.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that Simon game.
Oh, Simon. No.
I love that. That game was my shit as a kid.
I loved it.
I was a Bop It kid.
Bop It, Twisted.
Listen, I was the block's reigning champion. Nobody had faster hands than me and Bop It. Everybody, nobody wants the smoke. Nobody wanted the smoke.
All right, so as you're walking along, you make out the second letter and the third letter. It's R and E. And at some point, Evie, you look down and you realize that there are no steps underneath you anymore. You're just walking on air and going down. And you look around and there's no steps behind you or anybody else. And you're not sure if anybody notices. And you hear Easter say, Evie, are you okay up there? Why'd you stop?
There's no more anything. There's no more floor. There's just darkness.
The next thing you spell out from this light pattern is Y-O-U. Do you continue to walk down these air stairs, these empty sky that you're walking in?
I think she does.
Okay. So you continue to walk in. Everybody make me an idea roll.
29 under 8.
Okay.
31 under 80.
Okay.
70 over 40.
Ooh, that's an 85 over 50.
Okay. So everybody but Imani suddenly realizes that Easter's speaking to you without bonking you on the head.
Yeah. Sam picked that up.
Michelle picked that up.
Yeah.
Well, I just say to Easter, I go, how are you talking to us without touching my head?
Oh, all of you fell asleep.
How? When? Where?
On the way downstairs?
Easter?
I don't know. I mean, I'm here with you. I'm asleep too. I'm a cat. I sleep 20 hours a day. And then we flash to outside of the dreamland into the real world. And the four of you are asleep on the staircase, dangling over a large chasm, maybe on a like a foot across stair. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
I fucking... God damn it, Wes.
Oh my God.
I got to make sure you come back next week.
I was going to anyway. I mean...
Did you guys figure out what it said? Did you guess?
Well, are you
sleeping?
Yeah, it's the same thing as, are you sure you're awake?
I don't like it.
That was one of the messages that you found in the case one time. Are you sure you're not asleep?
Oh, God, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Bitches.
All right. So thank you all so much for playing. I appreciate it. And thank you to our listeners for listening. Let's find out where these wonderful people are. Let's start with Sam.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Starr. I played Imani. You can find me all across the interwebs at Lust for Life X. That's LustForLifeX. That's where I talk about all the stuff that I do. In the scene, I play other TTRPGs, and it's fun. Watch me on Transplanter on Saturday nights at 8:00 p.m. We're fucking awesome. Yeah, that's me.
Hello, everyone. I have been Candace Magnificent. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent, pretty much everywhere else. And along with that, you should be able to find me over on YouTube if you want to see a collection of things that I've been doing. I have a group playlist over there with both TTRPG stuff and voice acting stuff.
Hello, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2RS, or on Instagram and Blue Sky at Lev.RS23. Or if you want to hear me play more silly games that aren't, I mean, they're pretty silly. And, you know, also sometimes really sad, but in a good way, in the way that you like games to be sad. Over at Mayday Roleplay, we play lots of different things, including Delta Green, which is why I screw up these rules a lot. And we're playing Orpheus right now. We're closing in on the end of it. By the time this comes out, we might be done with Orpheus, which would be wild. Also, you can hear me in audio fiction podcasts and some video games. Yep.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on most of the socials. For the show, you can find us at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories on the socials. Check out our website as well. All of our links are there. You can, should also join us on Discord. Come by, say hi. Let us know what's going on with you in gaming. If you want to help out the podcast, join us on Patreon or give us a shout out. Or give us a review on your favorite platform. All of those things are awesome. We have a new show that we've been running for a couple of months now called Beyond the Outer, which is a Mothership show that is an exclusive for our Patreon backers. So check that out. And again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time for more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye, everybody.
Bye.